Patrick Mahomes' advice to Isaiah Likely, wear black shoes next time. Or white, right? But mine, Likely, please don't speak on the champs out of turn. That's what gets you in trouble, brother.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
Streaming live on YouTube.
You're going to break up with me because of what I do on the radio?
Here's Theo Dorsey.
Good people. Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained right now? I mean, the NFL absolutely delivered in week one. I don't care if you're a Chiefs fan like me, a Ravens fan like C-Cat, or a fan of the other 30 teams waiting to kick off their season, including the Philadelphia Eagles and the Green Bay Packers, who kick it off in a place where apparently nobody wants to go, out in Sao Paulo, Brazil. That'll be fun tonight, Friday Night Lights for the NFL. But yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing last night. I can't cap to you. I'm a little exhausted. I'm a little tired. C-Cat and I, we were out at the Duffy Sports Grill in Delray Beach, Lincoln and Federal. Did I do it wrong?
Linton
and Federal. Excuse me. I'm sorry about that. It's the only Duffy's in Delray Beach, though. And we streamed the game. So this is like our third stream in the past 24 hours as we're live on YouTube right now. You can tap in with us. Hopefully not too many bags under our eyes. And hopefully we look energized and ready to go on this Friday, a football Friday. But before we get to any of that and reaction from last night, Chiefs Ravens 27-20 to the defending champs, C-Cat, as my brother, a dude I've been doing this show with now for over 100 episodes, I just am curious as to you at this point, following a loss in week one to the same team that bounced you from the playoffs last night, in the way that it happened, the game of inches, a toe on the back of the end zone, how are you this afternoon? Are you okay?
I'm okay. I'm okay with what happened on the field last night.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson played good enough to win that football game. I have no problem with saying that on the airwaves right now. I've been a big Lamar Jackson critic as a Ravens fan because I want the ultimate prize. Don't we all? So when I see a weak point in last year's time we saw these two teams play in the playoffs, seeing the weak point was the quarterback, the two-time MVP, that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. This is the first time I've seen him in 2024. I like what I saw. I saw the 2019 Lamar, as we were talking about, live at Duffy's in Delray. I saw him use his legs. I saw him get angry almost to a fault.
Yeah.
Looking for contact.
Lowering that shoulder against linebackers.
Exactly. I saw a couple things I didn't like in terms of clock management by the players on the field on that final drive for the Ravens. Got to spike the football, lost about like 20 seconds there. But not to get too X's and O's about it, I'm not that sad.
So this isn't the end of the world for you, though it does feel like the Ravens, if you listen, and we'll get to some of that post-game reaction, you can tell the pressure was building on their shoulders. They really wanted this win at Arrowhead against the behemoth in the NFL right now because they know, and this is my thing today, they know what's coming and what's been hitting them ever since, the Hockley overturned that touchdown call and all emotions that were super high for Baltimore fans went down to the basement, down to the valley. Ever since that moment through this show, you have all of the hot takers, all of the, so-called ball knowers. And then really, if you want to keep it frank, honestly, a lot of y'all are just some Lamar Jackson haters, right? A lot of y'all just don't want to see the brother succeed, which you haven't wanted to back since when he was playing high school football out here. There are people that are just antagonistic against him for whatever reason, right? Maybe you don't like his play style. But they know that that was the only game that we had. That was the only action we had in the NFL. That's all we have to talk about right now. And all of the hate, all of the overanalyzing, all of the overreactions are now being heaped on that team. And you can tell again in that post game that that's what they were feeling. And I do feel like my overreaction coming out of that contest, as I see people try and say, oh, now we know for sure Lamar Jackson can't beat the Chiefs. It's impossible. He can't do it. Right? That's what everybody's been saying today. Lamar can't beat the Chiefs. The Ravens got to find a new way to play football. They got to find a new quarterback, right? Like, if you're not going to beat them and get a Super Bowl, I guess that's what you're saying. If you're saying Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP, Heisman Trophy winner, a guy who outplayed Patrick Mahomes last night, right? Like, even as a Chiefs fan, I can say Mahomes made more mistakes, critical mistakes, even on that, you know, catch he got me for my PPR league. Critical mistakes that almost turned into game-breaking plays. Lamar didn't have too many of those.
Yeah, what I saw last night was that it was possible for the Ravens to beat the Chiefs when it matters most. I think that they definitely showed it was possible, which is something I maybe didn't think coming into this season. I kind of saw a Chiefs team and a quarterback that was infallible and that whatever you do, it just didn't matter. No, we were one inch away from being a coin flip away from the Ravens winning that football game.
The Chiefs have now beat the Ravens 5 times in their last 6 meetings, of course, including in the playoffs last year in the AFC Championship game on the road. This was a game that you can tell the Ravens players and the Ravens staff really wanted to feel like they got over the hump. This was also a game that you can tell on the Chiefs side that, you know, they're not just punting away week one. They want to keep that monkey on the back of the Baltimore Ravens. They want to keep feeling like the boogeyman in the NFL. So they actually were going for it. They really wanted it, except for Travis Kelce. Couldn't find him anywhere on the field. But I will say this. My overreaction is this week, right? It came to me right after that game. Thursday Night Football is the absolute worst game to lose on the NFL calendar, right? You got Friday Night Football tonight between the Eagles and Packers. They're safe. They're safe because once that game ends, it's going to be some hot takes on Twitter. It's going to be some things going back and forth. But then we're going to have, by noon the next day, Texas marching into the big house in college football following a college game day going up against Michigan. That's going to steal some of the headlines. Then we're going to have a whole Sunday slate full of games being capped off with a Sunday Night Football and then the very next day, Monday Night Football. By the time that we get to back to these airwaves to talk about what happened from this football weekend, whatever happens tonight between the Eagles and Packers is going to be a distant memory. But for the Ravens, y'all got to hear all of it on every show. I wouldn't be surprised if CNN called up Bomani Jones, right? Like whenever there's a huge, you know, whenever there's a big sports topic, you know when it transcends just the world of sports, when you see that bald-headed brother on CNN. That's when I know.
Hey, flip the script. Fox News, Clay Travis, he does the same thing.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that. Oh, there you go. Fox News, when you see Clay Travis, that dude, whatever you, I don't know, how would you describe the way he looks?
Brunette.
Looks like a dude from Tennessee.
Yeah.
It's like a dude from Tennessee.
Accurate.
When you see, is he from Tennessee?
Yes.
Wow. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, I actually have a Clay Travis book. His book was given out at a media conference. I forgot what it was called. It was something very, obviously, if you know him, very provocative.
I know the book.
Yeah.
It's Republicans Buy Sneakers Too.
It must have been the next book.
Oh, okay.
I just literally got it this year. They gave it to me, and it felt disrespectful to throw it away. I'm not going to read Clay. Like, by all the tweets I see and by all the takes I see from him on X or Twitter or whatever the hell he gets his stuff off on, I have no interest in Clay Travis content, but I did feel it disrespectful to throw the book away, so I still have Clay Travis's book just sitting there on the floor.
Yeah, my girlfriend bought me one of his books, and I read the one page on a plane, and it's nothing against Clay Travis. It's nothing against, really, anybody. It's all against me. I don't read. Like, I just don't read. Now that I don't have to, now that I'm not a high school student that is given Shakespeare homework, what's reading going to do for me?
Reading for information. Like, I don't read for entertainment. I don't like reading for, like, you know, my wife, who's more of a creative. She's more of the other side of the brain. I'm more logical. She actually would like read like dramas and things like that for entertainment. Me, if I'm reading a book or reading anything, it's got to be some kind of like sports history book. Like I love Kane Mutiny, which I just got done reading again since I first moved out here. I love some of those like good to great type books. I like informational books to learn a little bit. Kind of like a weirdo that likes just watching documentaries, but not movies. I feel like I'm rocking on that side of things. But if you're the person that reads much too into week one of the National Football League, if you're the kind of person that reads much more into the fact that the Ravens were, again, an inch away from potentially tying, if not beating the Chiefs there because you saw Harbaugh about to go for two, I don't think you should be the one behind the mic if you're reading too much into that. It's an overreaction Friday, and I'm asking you, what's your biggest overreaction from week one of the NFL? The Chiefs take down the Ravens 27-20. My overreaction really is that Thursday Night Football is the worst one to lose because you got everybody behind the mics giving their idiotic takes, their idiotic overreactions, or also You got guys like Isaiah Likely, who apparently hasn't gotten enough media training. Can we get that? Can we get Isaiah Likely after the game, who he's overreacting? Dude, you play in the NFL. You should know better than this. But Isaiah Likely, apparently, he saw so much in the Chiefs through that game, through 60 minutes, that he's declared that the Chiefs are screwed come postseason time.
This is probably the worst game we're going to play all year. So if this is the best that they got, I mean, good luck in the postseason.
Come on, C-Cat. How do you – he had a career day and he ruined it all by saying that. Like, what the hell is that?
And that came 15 minutes after while walking off at Arrowhead. He was cursing out a bunch of fans because, hey, you stink. That's what they said.
Yeah.
Like, it was confirmed.
Right.
You hear it in the crowd saying, hey, you stink. He can say nothing at all.
Yeah.
You stink is not,
it's not even crazy.
Warranting any response. And he goes, bleeping, you bleep, bleep, bleep. Like, he just goes off against these fans. And it looks weak. It looks sour grapes.
It was whack.
It looked like a...
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, say it. You almost said it. You almost said it again. Again.
It looks like a...
Yeah, one of those. It's week one, baby. You got a whole season to go. What is your overreaction from Thursday Night Football's kickoff to the NFL season, which delivered in every way that the NFL could have hoped? Hit us up on the Baptist Health Hotline, 888-760-3776, 888-760-3776. Give me your biggest overreaction from week one of the National Football League. And also, again, if you're a Ravens fan, how do you feel this afternoon? Do you feel like it's all over with? Are you giving up on the season because you lost to the Chiefs this early? Or are you more like C-Cat? Are you more even keel? Are you feeling like, hey, we showed them that we can beat them. Let's get through the rest of the regular season. Let's get that chemistry right, and we'll get back after it. Hit us up on the Baptist Health Hotline, 888-760-3776. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care is a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has... it combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic, foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. Another overreaction from me, Mark Andrews is cooked. Isaiah Likely has taken over as the lead tight end option for Lamar Jackson. Of course, things can change. Maybe Mark Andrews is dealing with an injury we don't know about. But C-Cat, I will tell you this right now. Isaiah Likely, as idiotic as he sounded after the game, during the game, I mean, he was – that touchdown, oh, my gosh. Unstoppable.
Leading by 10. Lamar Jackson chased by Chanel. Karloftis to Likely downfield. Isaiah Likely with a block down the sideline. Likely inside the 5 to the end zone. Touchdown Baltimore.
Another overreaction. Isaiah Likely going to be a top 5 tight end by season's end. I see it coming. 888-760-3776. Hit us up on the Baptist Health Hotline. We start off in Dallas, Texas. Triple D. We've got Jordan in Dallas tapping in on Theoretically Speaking. How you feeling this day after we got some NFL ball in behind us, Jordan?
Finally. Yeah. First off, I want to say shout out to you all, man. Love the show. Love your new time slot. You all deserve it.
Appreciate
My
it, big dog.
Reaction, though, man. 1 week in, we already have to regulate who we watch football games with. I watched it with my homie last night, Kansas City Chiefs fan. When I tell you, halfway into the game, I already start hearing the, oh, we three-peating. And then it even got worse because by the end of the game, really before the end of the game and Baltimore came back, I heard we're going 17-0.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Okay. So, and appreciate the call, Jordan. That's a good call because I'm a Chiefs fan, right? And I feel heavily optimistic about the season, and I feel even better coming off of last night's win. But if you look at the schedule that the Chiefs have this year, if you think they're going 17-0, you are out of your damn mind. C-Cat, was I insufferable to watch the game with? We were at a Ravens-themed bar. We were at a Duffy Sports Grill, which had a bunch of Ravens fans. They're going to be there every single Ravens game going through the end of the year. Larry from Boynton invited us. Shout out to Larry. Appreciate you having us. and you sat next to me and we streamed all night during the game. Am I an insufferable Chiefs fan to watch a game with?
See, because of the enemy territory, you kind of dialed it back a bit.
Yeah.
So you were okay. You weren't insufferable that night. After the touchdown was overturned to close the game, you kind of got yours and you deserved it because you were getting taunted all night. If you tuned in on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube, you saw Theo was getting it from Ravens flock.
I was getting absolutely mauled. So much so, and I promised myself I would not say it, but I'm gonna put it out there. We're gonna get to you, Mike. I see you on the phone lines there. We're gonna get to you, Mike. So much so that I actually got a text from my wife during the stream. She was like, "I don't know who that lady is that keep on harassing you."
Yeah.
But you need to get that in check. We ain't gonna keep having this little back and forth between you two. She didn't like the. Because, of course, the sports fans kind of going at each other here and there. She kept blowing the horn in my ear. My wife did not take too kindly to that action right there. So,
yeah, so the lady
almost got in trouble.
You should go back on YouTube and watch some of the highlights. It was a hilarious evening filled with great food, great football, and great fun. But the lady had a siren.
Yes.
And it was going, woo, 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 like kind of a handheld siren.
And she blew it in my ear every time y'all scored.
Like right by, snuck up behind you, bang, right in the back of Theo's ear. Yeah. So whenever Kansas City scored, Theo go, "Where's the siren at?
Where's it at?
Where's the siren at?"
And the funniest part of the night is when Isaiah Likely, quote unquote, scored, she blew that siren. People, we had a fan go jump, put his face in front of the stream. Everybody's celebrating and cheering. They're like, "We should go for two. We should go for two." I said, "Well, first you got to score a touchdown." All right. Order of operations, baby. PEMDAS. You learned that in elementary school. Let's hit back to the phone lines. What's your biggest overreaction from Chiefs Ravens Thursday Night Football, which is one of the most epic season openers I can remember? And of course, I'm being prisoner of the moment. But that's why we have Mike in Wellington, who's joining, theoretically speaking. Mike, I know you're not a prisoner of the moment, but what's your overreaction from Chiefs Ravens?
Theo, happy Friday, guys. My two overreactions are tight end related. One, I drafted the wrong Ravens tight end.
Oh, man. And, what round? What round?
Before I drafted the wrong one. I got to deal with it. I drafted the wrong one.
What round? What round did you get Mark Andrews in, by the way? Do you remember?
Six.
Oh, yeah, that's tough, bro.
Yes,
that's tough. Okay, what else? What else you got? Because it's going to be a long season.
I think we're going to see a drop-off in Kelce this year. I think he's surrounded by younger talent. I don't know if he was just too busy with Taylor Swift over the summer, not getting ready for football, but I think we're going to see a real drop-off in Travis Kelce. I just wanted to know what you thought about that. That's my overreaction, guys.
Absolutely love it. Thanks for the call, Mike in Wellington, and also happy Friday to you as well, man. We're sharing good energy and good vibes here on Theoretically Speaking. You ain't lying, but the difference is you're saying we're going to see a drop-off in Travis Kelce. I've been telling people since last year, the drop-off already happened. And he's not going to go through this season going, you know, balls to the wall, full throttle for the Chiefs in regular season games. You're just not going to get that. So if you did, again, sorry to the fantasy football managers who have not been paying attention. If you did draft Kelce in a, you know, second, third round somewhere high up there, you're going to be disappointed with the production because you see the stat line from Rashee Rice. 7 catches, 103, didn't get in the end zone, but 9 targets. He's running a similar route tree as Kelce. He's at least attacking the same portion of the field that Kelce usually would. But when he gets the ball in his hands, that's a different kind of athlete. He's 23 years old. He's gone.
Travis Kelce's going to have a season where he might find the end zone maybe 4 or 5 times. He might average about 50 yards per game. And then when it matters most, that's when you'll see. When all roads are failing, a safe haven, Travis Kelce, you'll see him make big catches come playoff time. But so, if you want a week in and week out production, that's not what you're going to get from him.
So literally, C-Cat, what you just said, you said what, 5 touchdowns, right?
Yes.
You said about 50 yards per game?
Yes.
That's his stat line from last year. 5 touchdowns, 984 total yards through 15 games, and again, I watched every single one of them. He's lumbering a lot more. He's not the same athlete he was. It makes sense. He's 34 years old. Plus, he has ventures outside of football right now that are obviously taking precedent, and I don't blame him. If you're dating Taylor Swift and that takes you a little bit away from the game, but you're a back-to-back Super Bowl champion and a 3-time title winner, I'm not going to criticize you. And also, he just got paid $100 million to do a podcast with his brother.
That's where I was going to get at.
Yeah.
He's not the NBA, and he's not a quarterback.
Yeah.
So you can't get your contract and then be cool. That's it. Take the foot off the gas. No. If you're not playing quarterback and you're not playing in the NBA, you got to play every single week as if your paycheck depends on it, because your next contract's going to be up. It will depend on that. He's good with the money. He's good with the fame.
So let me just say this then again, because people were drafting Travis Kelce second and third round still in fantasy football. I'm like, literally, are you walking around with your eyes closed? Are you living under a rock like my boy Patrick? Let me give you the stat line from last night. 3 catches, 37 yards, 3 targets. If you're a Travis Kelce fan, are you a fan of that stat line?
You know what? I think Chiefs look at things with rose-colored lenses, and they just give the team the benefit of the doubt, where it's like, it's okay if he's not producing right now.
Yeah.
He'll do it when it matters most.
Guess what, C-Cat?
What's that?
That wasn't Travis Kelce's stat line.
What?
That was the Chiefs' leading tight end receiver on the night, Noah Gray, who had 3 catches for 37 yards. Travis Kelce had 3 for 34. He wasn't even the leading tight end last night for the Kansas City Chiefs, just like Mark Andrews, who had 2 catches for 14 yards and literally was only targeted 2 times, and he had the one time he caught it. Was that a fourth? That was third down, right?
Third down. When he could have gotten a first down. Yeah. He hit X. Yes. If you're playing college football. He caught it.
Yes.
He could have stayed on his feet, gotten a first down. He ended up going down, played the safe route, and was 2 yards short of the line to gain.
He didn't know where the sticks were, man. There's no way he knew where the sticks were when he caught that ball. He didn't run to the sticks like you're taught. And again, Isaiah Likely, who had 12 targets, led the Ravens in targets last night. I mean, he is the most explosive. Like that play that we ran the highlight, that play itself, the rack afterwards, he looks like an elite tight end. And the only reason why he might not produce like that is if, you know, Todd Monken decides to give the veteran more opportunities. But Mark Andrews is not the best tight end on the Ravens, and Travis Kelce still the best tight end on the Chiefs, but he's nowhere near the best option as Rashee Rice is taking off in year 2. He just needs to make sure he, Uber more, Rashee Rice. Just do that for me, and you'll be good. Biggest overreaction from night 1 of the NFL. Give us yours. We got Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews are both washed. We got, from me, that Thursday Night Football is just the worst one to lose because you got everybody flying in off the high ropes trying to criticize your team, just like they did last year when the Chiefs lost to the Lions with Chris Jones up in the box. He wasn't even playing. Can I at least play before we go to the other side and we give people their picks for this football weekend, their dogs, their underdogs, because I absolutely love cats and dogs. I can't wait to get to it. We heard Isaiah Likely, and let's just hear it again. Isaiah Likely having one of the bigger overreactions from this game, saying the Chiefs are cooked when it comes to the playoffs now.
Chiefs leading by 10.
But that's not it. That's just touchdown.
This is probably the worst game we're going to play all year. So if this is the best that they got, I mean, good luck in the postseason.
All right, so up in Adams, Kay Adams, she gets whatever guest she wants these days. And following that big win, she was able to get safety for the Chiefs, Justin Reed. And Justin Reed, who, you know, was tasked with trying to cover Likely and couldn't do it. Again, 9 catches, 111 yards, and a touchdown. Justin Reed responds to him in the only way that you do when you're a back-to-back Super Bowl champion.
It's the first game of the season. I hope it's the worst game that anyone plays. Yeah. If you're peaking right now, then, you know, that's bad news from the playoff time. So he had a good game himself, so credit to him. But there's tons of ways that we're going to improve. We're going to get Hollywood Brown back here in a couple of weeks. We're going to continue to tighten on the defensive side of the ball. And that Patrick Mahomes, Xavier Worthy connection is just going to get more and more special as we keep going. Not to mention that all the star power that happened, Travis Kelce, he didn't even have to be Travis Kelce the whole game. You know, he had that one special play to help Pat get that all-time passing leader record. But, you know, he's going to show up in the season too. So I don't see the Kansas City Chiefs being the same team that we were yesterday. I see us getting better as we keep going.
Don't hold your breath on Kelce producing. Again, he's talking about late in the season when they really need him. And also, yes, Patrick Mahomes now the all-time leading passer in Chiefs history with that throw he had to Travis Kelce. But yeah, I can't wait any longer, C-Cat. This is much anticipated. The biggest we've done it so far. I'm saying we, like I've helped you with this thing. This is you. I walked in on you prepping this thing.
Yeah,
I walked in on you prepping this thing, and it was some of the most intense, serious, like, look I've ever seen you had. You look like one of the Harbaughs getting ready for a Tuesday practice.
I was thinking of the Eminem Stan music video. Like, I am really thinking in my head, and I have a narrator writing these underdog picks that you're about to hear be blessed within the airwaves of ESPN 106.3 on YouTube at The O Speaking. You're not going to want to miss this.
Tap in for that, please, because he's going to deliver them, and he has been amazing at picking underdogs, not this just this year, but in years past here on ESPN 106.3. So if you want to get tapped in on who you should be looking at to maybe put a little Skrilla in, stay tapped in with us. But then also, before we go, I mean, the Chiefs are back-to-back champions, but more importantly, out here in South Florida, the reigning champions of the NAIA, the Kaiser football team. Everybody was like, what's going to happen now? What's going to happen now that Doug Socha's gone, Miles Russ is in as head coach, his first year? Last night, they had their first game of the season against North Greenville. That's a Division II program. NAIA is not Division II. In fact, in Kaiser's 6 years, though they had their first national title last year, they've never beat a D2 program.
Until?
Last night. They go to overtime, 20, tied, on the road, first game of the season, new head coach, and you get a game-winning field goal from 21 yards out to win it. Kaiser's only played in two overtime games in football in the history of that program. It was their very first game in 2018 to open up that season, and then their very last one, at least until next week, when they took down North Greenville, their first time beating a D2 opponent, opening up the season with a win, opening up Miles Russ's tenure as head coach with a win. Can't wait to keep tapping in on those Seahawks all year. We'll be giving you updates throughout the year. But if you want to stay up to date, if you want to read up on what the Kaiser Seahawks are doing in football and all sports, KUSeahawks.com. KUSeahawks.com. Check them out as they go and hashtag defend the beach. On the other side, it's the moment we've all been waiting for, cats and dogs with C-Cat. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Is that part of the season too? Because, you know, it's fantasy football season early, right? And the trade requests are flying in all these different leagues. I'm in four leagues this year. C-Cat, you only do one fantasy football league, right?
Two now.
Two.
I got reached out for the day before the season. I said, let's do it. I want to take over. This is a league that I left because in the DeMar Hamlin situation,
talk to me. My bad.
It's okay. I had Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase. I had a 78% chance of winning when that game was halted, when DeMar Hamlin went down. And they just said, sorry, pal, you currently have less points than the other team. They gave me the silver medal. They didn't split the pot. So I left. And I'm back.
They gave it to the... Would you say they gave it to the underdog?
No. I don't even want to associate positive feelings like I have about underdogs with John DeBernardi. That piece of garbage.
Was that the commissioner's name?
No, that's the guy I lost to his name. He fumbled the snap in the dome, too. He lost us a state championship.
Oh.
Don't want to talk about
double
it.
Double whammy. That guy is just... I mean, you got to send him this clip. That's decrepit. The dude is not... It's not G. Well, I can't wait to get to what our favorite thing is, which is cats and dogs. You don't want to associate your segment with them, and I get that because the dude sounds like he's bringing everybody down. But bringing my mood up last night and bringing yours up as well, how about that giant pretzel we had?
Oh!
Come on. How about that Major League burger I had? How about those amazing mozzarella sticks you had? Crispy, cheesy, the marinara sauce. Oh, my gosh.
What was your entree? The firecracker shrimp tacos.
The firecracker. I told you, the firecracker shrimp starters. That's where I go. That's where I'm at home at. I didn't want to say it all the time because I know Evan Cohen always said it, but that's where I'm home at. Duffy'sMVP.com. We're talking about Duffy Sports Grill. That's where me and C-Cat took in Thursday night football last night. Are you ready for some football? Join us at your favorite Duffy Sports Grill. You can watch your favorite games with over 80 televisions at every location. C-Cat and I counted last night. Yeah, 80 plus out there in Delray. 2-for-1 drinks all day, every day. And plus, we got new starting lineups coming to you for football season. We got house-made fried pickles, smoked fish dip, gridiron nachos, crispy fried green beans, and loaded and barbecue pigskins. They not like Duffy's. That's right. They absolutely not. At Duffy's, our game is always on. Appreciate that pleasant trust in the chat on YouTube. C-Cat, it's time. It's time, man. Like, we've been waiting. Everybody's waiting on their picks. They've been driving. They parked on the side of the road because they have their pens out. They've got their notepads out. They're like, C-Cat is about to deliver the greatest cats and dogs in the history of the cats and dogs segment here on Theoretically Speaking. So go ahead and do it. Tee these folks up for what they should be going locking in on.
David versus Goliath.
Be a dog.
Rocky versus Apollo Creed.
We don't need no meow.
Average Joe's versus Globo Jim.
We don't need no cats.
C-Cat versus the sports book.
We need more dogs.
Underdogs are the lifeblood of sports. And every week, C-Cat gives you the underdogs that will shock the world. Welcome to Cats and Dogs, presented by SafeBound. You're safe with SafeBound.
Yeah, big boys. You are always safe with SafeBound, but you're never safe if you're a favorite in the fall. NFL has started. College football is in the thick of it. Let's start on Saturday, where you will make money off the backs of 19-year-olds who are failing their public speaking courses. I like Michigan this weekend. Seriously, they're going up against that massive brand who have national titles in the past, but double-digit dogs? Theo, where is this game being played?
The Big House. Sorry, I had to think about it.
No. It's being played at the Horseshoe. 7:30 p.m. Take Western Michigan plus 37.5 on the road versus the Buckeyes.
Oh.
You know, Western battled versus Wisconsin last week. They covered the number. Ohio State, they floundered against Akron. They did not cover the number. Take Western Michigan Broncos plus 37.5. Chop up a line on the money line and snort that stuff back while you're at it. Moving on.
What?
If there's one thing I've learned about the beautiful sport, the beautiful beast that is college football, it's that you simply cannot schedule former FCS heartthrob, current Fun Belt firecracker, Appalachian State in the non-conference.
Not the Mountaineers.
You're a college football power, and you expect to get away with it? Shout out to the 2023 Cure Bowl champion Mountaineers. 25th ranked Clemson hosts App State this weekend. Clemson, they're a 16.5 point favorite. Three words, too many points. This will be your game of the night.
Wow.
Ask 2007 Michigan. Ask 2018 Penn State, where I was in the building for that near upset in overtime. I think it was a miracle to win that game for Penn State, but they pulled it out.
Sorry about that.
Ask the 2022 Texas A&M Aggies. App State's they're always a live dog. That's barking. Mountaineers plus the 16.5. Take a sip of the money line while you're at it. Maybe some moonshine for the Mountaineers plus 550.
Love that pick, especially after what we saw from Clemson. Kate Klubnik, not that guy. Absolutely not.
Can you please help me here? I'll fade the music down. Sing it along with me. We have the music in front of us, but I like singing it instead.
Okay.
It is time for NFL football.
Oh!
Let's get this straight. We don't know a thing about these teams until I touch the gridiron.
Okay.
So let's get stinky about it, why don't we? You know that generational talent we've been praising? That Hard Knocks team that is setting up to make history in Chi-Town? The Chicago Bears, who I claimed would win the Super Bowl, Super Bowl in 2024? They're going to lose week one. Outright. I recited this stat on Thursday, and I'll do it again for the people that weren't there. Since 2005, first overall picks that are quarterbacks who start in game one as a rookie are 0-14-1 straight up. They're 0-15 against the spread. I love you, Chicago, but you're going to wait one more week before you enjoy a Caleb Williams W in the blue and orange. Take Will Levis-led Titans. That number moved, by the way. It's plus 3.5 and on the money line at plus 155.
Can I just interrupt right quick?
Go for it.
That's why you're hearing those cat sounds, because when it's a bad dog that he gives you, I give the cat sound. No, put your notepads away in your pen when he said that. See, Cat, We've discussed this 20 times over. I thought you would change your opinion. The Bears are not a typical number one overall pick team because that's the Panthers' pick. All right? They got Keenan Allen, DJ Moore. They got Rome Odunze. They had two first-round picks in the top 10. That's not a number one overall team. They won 7 games last year. They were better than the Titans last year without Caleb Williams, and now you're saying the Titans are going to get something out of Will Levis because, what, they added Calvin Ridley and L'Jarius Sneed? I'm all the way out on that pick, man.
You sound like a square. That's what you sound like. You sound Joe Public. That's not me. I'm a sharp.
Shing!
I'm that sharp.
Was that a knife sound?
I was sheathing my blade.
Okay, well, can we hear it again? Because we need to know what that was first.
Shing!
Okay, I can see it.
1 year can change a lot. Historic losers can become winners. Laughingstocks can become respected individuals that get record contracts. However, nature has a way of correcting itself. All Matt Stafford has heard for the past season is how much better off the Lions are with Jared Goff at quarterback.
Talk to him.
They chanted his name at the freaking NFL draft. We've got hosts on these very airwaves who are picking Detroit to win the Super Bowl. Colin Russo, shout out. 4-6, Russo and Rizzo. Are we forgetting who the Lions are? Who the city of Detroit is? Take the Los Angeles Rams on the road for the Matt Stafford homecoming part dose. Rams plus 4.5 on the money line. They are plus 180. My record so far, 3-1 against the spread. Take that for what you will.
Well, and I'll give you, that was a good one. That's a good one. I'm all over that one. Stafford having both of his guys, Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, having Kyren Williams and having Blake Corum in there, national champion, ready to give a little bit of a 1-2 punch there. I think he's going to get way more touches than people assume. And Sean McVay on that sidelines, like, I believe in them. I believe in them to be able to make that happen. And something to prove, because last year in the playoffs, I know that didn't sit right with Stafford or the fellas on that sideline for the Rams. I like that pick a lot.
You want to talk motivation? This game means so much to the Rams than it does for the Lions.
Yeah.
The Lions won their Super Bowl, if you would, by winning that home playoff game. The Rams are out for revenge.
Yeah. They're out for revenge, and not only that, they're out for that division. I picked the Rams to beat out the 49ers in the NFC West yesterday when we were giving our picks. It is I think they're like plus 300 to win the NFC West, and I think that is just way too much value that they're giving. I absolutely love the Rams this year. I think what we saw to them last year when we expected nothing and they made the playoffs, I think you only get a more of an uptick. The only problem is no Aaron Donald. Love the C-Cat, cats and dogs right there. Love it all the way. Can't wait to keep getting that every single Friday here, and I hope you had your notepad out. I just hope you gave it a break when he gave that Bears pick, because it's absolutely horrendous.
I'm sweating right now. Like, I got to take my hat off, which is a terrible sight if you're watching the stream on Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube. But my head hurts.
It is.
And I've got, what are shingles? I feel like I have shingles, but I don't know what they
shingles
are.
Shingles are root, like those are the things you put on the roof, like roof shingles?
Nah, there's like health shingles. I see commercials with like medication for it all the time.
Oh, like the skin.
Okay.
I think it's shingles is like a rash or type of disease. Help us out here because we're young. 888-760-3776. What are shingles when they're on your body? Because C-Cat seems to think that hat hair relates to shingles, and I doubt that he's right about that. Wow. Cats and dogs got you all hot and bothered over there, C-Cat.
Yeah. What's the temperature in here? It's 68.5 degrees in the control room over here, but it feels like it's a blazing 85. That's what it feels like right now.
Meteorologist C-Cat. Delivering the weather report from just outside of the Evan Cohen Studios here in City Place. I absolutely love that, man. Theoretically speaking, is nothing if not for the place and home for cats and dogs. It's also the home for the, everybody's favorite. Everybody's favorite way to get around. It's literally in the name. The SafeBound Get Around. We have that for you as we touch on what Ja'Marr Chase also said in the locker room. You already know Ja'Marr Chase doesn't hold back. And I'm a Chiefs fan, and I absolutely love how, invigorated the dude is, how confident he is, how good of a player he is, and how willing he is to go at the Chiefs and yap at him. It's better for the NFL when you have these kind of rivalries. What he said in the locker room, on the precipice of what we expect to be a record-breaking wide receiver deal, I am all the way amped, not just for what kind of bank he's about to pull in from the Bengals, but also for what kind of show he's going to put on the field this year. I think that dude is motivated all the way up. We'll get to that and more on the SafeBound Get Around on the other side. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're theoretically speaking. Wait, we have an update. If you get shingles, C-Cat. Oh, he's talking about your kicker jersey that you wore last night. Absolutely lame. We do have to discuss that, too. C-Cat wearing a Justin Tucker jersey to the bar last night to watch the Ravens when you have a two-time MVP and you have King Henry on your team, but you're wearing number 9 and the dude couldn't even knock in a 43-yard field goal or something like that. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
I know Derrick Henry only had 46 yards on the ground, right? Only 13 carries. There's going to be some Todd Monken, there's going to be a referendum on that fella soon. Had the touchdown on the opening drive. Lamar Jackson had a buck 22 on the ground, though. Like, he was ripping and running all over the field for the Ravens last night. It just wasn't enough. A few throws down the line, you make a tiptoe inbounds, and maybe you have a win to start the season in Baltimore. Just maybe. If though, you were rooting for the Ravens and you didn't get that win on Thursday, maybe you can, pull out your putter and get a win for yourself tonight. Tonight, actually. Like, I'm talking about, like, in a few hours here. This is big time. The big time Mick Ultra Putt for 10K is tonight. Join us for the grand opening of X Golf in West Palm Beach from 6 to 8 p.m. as we qualify another fan for a chance to win $10,000. To help us celebrate Mick Ultra Draft, that's going to be half off from 5 until 9. That means, what time is it now? 2:50? You got about 2 hours to get there.
X Golf. Post-work trip.
Yes. Get off, punch out the clock, head over to X Golf in West Palm Beach. Because time is running out for you to putt for that dough. Come and check out the new X Golf and drink some Ultras with us as we get closer to crowning the $10,000, the 10K putt champion. You must be 21 or older to participate. Southern Eagle reminds you to drink responsibly. And I'm nice with the putter. I don't know if I'm good enough to beat out enough folks out here in Palm Beach County, out here in South Florida where golf is king. And yeah, I still three putt here and there. Matter of fact, you're still trying to break 100 this year on the golf course.
Yeah, still trying. 101, and wet the bed in the last six holes.
The back nine, the last six holes, you had, a couple double bogeys, a couple triples.
I think I went quad bogey, triple, double, triple to finish with a 101.
And you were counting.
I was on pace to break 90 at that pace. And, I was counting, yes.
So what did we learn from that? We're going to still keep counting as you try to break 100, or are you going to move off of that strategy?
I haven't played since, dude. That's in my head. Yeah. I feel a mental block. I feel the Y word, the yips when it comes to golf. I'm terrified to go back on the course.
Well, now you know how I live every day. But when you get into the golf course, you gotta hop in some kind of method of transportation to get out there. There's golf courses everywhere, all throughout Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast. And if you're taking a ride, why not hop on with us in the SafeBound Get Around? Strap up. Put that seatbelt in. Buckle up with the fellas. SafeBound Get Around. Brought to you by SafeBound Moving and Storage, who just hooked up my sister with her move out of Florida. They can hook you up as well. They can hook you up as well because they've been doing it. They're actually located right here in West Palm Beach. They are masterful with not just their communication ahead of the move. They'll scout out your house. That's what they did for my sis. She was moving out of actually Fort Lauderdale to get up to Georgia. Scouted the house out. You could do it virtually. They could do it in person. Then they pull up and they help out. If you don't have your stuff boxed up, tell them that ahead of time. If you have it boxed up, they hook it up, put it in the truck, and make some motion happen for you. You don't have to, crack a fingernail. You don't have to chip up your walls on the way out of your home or apartment, and now you got to pay those fees. You don't get your security deposit back because you're not a professional. You're safe with SafeBound. That's why they say that. They don't just say that because it's like catchy. You're literally safe with SafeBound if you choose them to move with. They also offer storage options as well if you just need to clear out a clutter room. SafeBound Moving and Storage. SafeBound Moving and Storage. I witnessed it myself. They're great to help you get from point A to point B, whether you're moving inside of Florida or out of the state of Florida. Hit them up. SafeBound Moving and Storage. Where are we going first, CK?
Next stop.
First stop of the SafeBound Get Around. We're going to Detroit.
Yeah.
Connor Stallions. Does that name ring a bell?
Yeah, man. He's a cheater, right? He's a Michigan man. That's part of their thing.
He was the focal point of the Netflix doc sign stealing. He was the focal point of the investigation alongside Jim Harbaugh at Michigan last year.
What's he up to now?
He was the defensive coordinator at a high school football team as of about a month and a half ago. Well, he is now the acting head coach at Detroit Mumford High School after the head coach suffered a mild stroke.
They got their tails whipped in week one, like absolutely obliterated. I think they got shut out. And now the coach got a stroke, you're saying?
Yes.
And Connor Stallions is now the acting head coach. He was next in line.
Man, the student sections in those high schools better lay it on them. They need to prepare.
Well, you're missing the main point. We're talking about a dude who had a manifesto to become the Michigan head coach when he was like 5 years old. We're talking about a dude that does everything he can to succeed and advance in life. We're talking about a guy that walked into two different college programs' offices and said, give me a job, and they did.
So you think, like, Stallions, some extra stroke juice? I don't know. How do you induce a stroke?
Stroke juice sounds a little freaky to me. Stroke juice is a little too freaky for my taste. But I don't know. I don't know. All I'm saying is, if I'm that head coach, I would be skeptical. Like, I'm not, again, no accusations here. I have no clue what the heck happened there. And I hope for best health for that coach. Strokes are serious. I don't want to make a joke out of it. But, like, I would be skeptical. I would be absolutely skeptical if that dude was the next in line to be head coach and all of a sudden I had a stroke and he had to take over. I would just be skeptical. I'm leaving it at that. I watch Succession. I see what people do to succeed.
I was going
to
say Game of Thrones. That's how it's textbook Game of Thrones.
I've never watched Game of Thrones, but if that's how they get down, I'm just saying, I would be skeptical me. But he doesn't have to be, because mainly just, hey, get well, coach, and Connor Stallions, go win state for Mumford, baby. Mumford High, home of the Bulldogs.
Next stop.
Going to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
I don't know if they're the Bulldogs, by the way. I made that up.
Well, this stop on the SafeBound Get Around. We're talking Steelers quarterback Russell Wilson has calf tightness. He sat out practice on Thursday, and Russell Wilson is still likely to start on Sunday.
Well, if Russell Wilson's likely to start on Sunday, then the former Bulldog Justin Fields turned Ohio State Buckeye. That's probably a good thing for him. I've been saying this since the offseason. Justin Fields needs to let Russell Wilson trot his old tail out there and likely fail. Maybe he succeeds. I think Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith are good enough coaches to make something out of that offense. But Russell Wilson has a lot of deficiencies that can be borne out or bared out, or however people say that stuff, on the field early in this NFL season. And if Justin Fields comes in and supplants Wilson and takes the offense to a new level, a different height, because he can run the ball, and that literally is a different dimension defenses have to plan for, I think that's the route for him to becoming potentially the future franchise quarterback of the Steelers. Wilson already got his bag. Fields needs his. He needs this more than Wilson does. I'm just saying, this is good for Justin Fields and his camp. He should be happy.
Next stop.
How about a stop in Miami Gardens?
Yeah.
Jalen Ramsey got a major Dolphins extension. 3 years, $72.3 million deal. $55.3 million starting this season.
Bank.
Going to ensure that he will have the highest career earnings for a cornerback in league history.
This is important because Jalen Ramsey, to me, is, when you think about all the corners that are in this modern generation, right, after Revis, let's go after Revis, he's the number one guy. He's had sustainability. He's been an all-pro for the longest. That run with the Jaguars was immaculate. It was amazing. It had me hoping they could upset the Patriots. He had me believing in Duval. Shout out my guy, Colin Russo, 4-6 here, Russo and Rizzo, big Jaguars fan. Like, Jalen Ramsey has been in the public sphere for so long, and I think he deserves this bag. Should he be the highest paid corner in the league right now? I don't know if he's the best, but the Dolphins are paying all their guys right now. It's like a utopia. I need to go get a job with them and see if they'll just ink out a 10-year extension with me to set a new record.
So where's this going to show its face? Because, like, you can't pay everybody record deals.
I can't. I'm still trying to figure that out, because there's certain franchises that have just seemed to circumvent this imaginary salary cap. We've seen the Saints do it for years and years in the Drew Brees era and a little bit post that. Now we're watching the Dolphins do it. Somehow the Broncos are shelling out record deals to their cornerbacks, even though they're still paying the Steelers quarterback. So I don't know. Like, if you say you're a cap expert, I think you're capping.
Yeah.
Because the cap is a ridiculous thing to try and understand in the NFL. It's just a lot of funny money.
Seriously, like I've given up on trying to decide that.
I don't even, like, when people are like, oh, we're in cap hell, I'm like, sure, sure. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. I don't get it. And then they restructure contracts left and right and somehow free up money. And then, yeah, weird things happen. Hopefully the Chiefs can find a way to cheat like that as well.
Next stop.
Even though they don't need it.
Rudy Gobert's vacation home, which is pretty much in Shaq's brain.
Rent free, baby.
Shaquille O'Neal was asked on a podcast who the worst NBA player of all time is.
Come on.
And you're going to love that answer.
Come on.
Rudy Gobert.
Oh, my God. I knew he was going to say
it. Cut it right there. Shaq, why? Leave that poor Frenchman alone. He got played off the court, not just in the playoffs. By the way, they left him on the court too many times in pivotal moments, and that's part of the reason why the Timberwolves lost. He got played off the court in the Olympics for his nation. Leave him alone, man. I'm glad he got his bag. I don't understand why he's such a punching bag. He is an overrated NBA player. He's not the worst of all time. He's not. There's no way. I mean,
I like Shaq went on to bring up Ben Simmons, too.
Yeah.
Because I think he had a great point about it. And pretty much talking about how I made $120 million and I can't walk straight to show for it.
Yeah.
You're making $250 and you don't play the game of basketball anymore.
Yeah.
And that really rubs him the wrong way, which I understand that.
It does. I mean, if you go per value, if you go like an efficiency rating, like value added versus amount of money made or make it, like Ben Simmons is definitely up there. He might be number one, but Rudy Gobert technically still won like three or four defensive player of the years, though I don't think he should have. And he also is a plus on the defensive side of the ball in the regular season, which matters. Like, you got to make it to the postseason. But once you get to the playoffs, man, that dude, he's just not. I mean, I'm not even a Rudy Gobert hater. I wanted the Timberwolves to win last year, so I was actively rooting for them to bench him because that seems to be the way that you can be more advantageous in the playoffs. And if that's your, like, reputation, then, yeah, you're an overrated basketball player. Sorry. Well, absolutely sorry.
Is he, like, the first famous Rudy since the Irish Rudy from Notre Dame?
Rudy from The Cosby Show. Rudy from The Cosby
Show. Fictitious character, though.
So is Rudy from Notre Dame.
He was a real person.
Was he? Oh, yeah. Rudy Tomjanovich would have been before him, huh?
I don't know who that is. That's a get around.
Yes. Yes, that's the safe bound get around. We started in Detroit, Michigan with Connor Stallions. We ended in Rudy Gobert's brain, realizing that also C-Cat's brain does not recall who Rudy Tomjanovich is. Who
tennis was, player?
No. Basketball. Oh. He was famously on the other end of one of the... Oh, Rudy Fernandez. Good call there, Jalen. Famously on the other end of one of the most prolific punches in sports history. Not just basketball, but prolific punches in sports history at the hands of Kermit Washington.
Kermit?
Oh, God.
Wait, there's an NBA player named Kermit?
This is bad. You're not a basketball guy.
I was thinking the most famous punch in NBA history was whoever got decked by Ron Artest. That's got to be the most famous punch in NBA history.
So the fans?
Yes. That is absolutely the most famous punch in NBA history.
Google Rudy Tomjanovich and look at his face after. And you tell me what the most famous punch in NBA. Just because you weren't around for it.
I wasn't around for the malice either. Like I was alive.
I wasn't watching it. I can't believe you don't know about the Rudy Tomjanovich Kermit Washington punch in the face. It was the ultimate fade.
Nah.
He folded him. It literally broke bones in his face.
You would never catch me again decked by a dude named Kermit.
Oh my. Oh, you haven't seen Kermit? You haven't seen that punch.
Kermit?
We're gonna over the break, that's gonna be our homework for you. Over the break, we're gonna watch the Rudy Tomjanovich Kermit Washington haymaker. Which, again, it was kind of a little bit of a cheap shot. I feel bad making fun of it because it was, oh, my gosh. His face got caved in. But, that's a historic sports moment, and it's definitely more famous than Ron Artest at Malice at the Palace. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're going to get back to Ravens, Chiefs, as well as talk a little Packers-Eagles tonight, right? Out there in Brazil. We're theoretically speaking on ESPN 106.3.